All right, let's open our Bibles tonight, going into Hebrews chapter 12. And we'll just begin reading from the third verse. That's Hebrews 12, verse 3. It says, "Therefore, consider him," and this is speaking of Jesus, "that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your own minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If ye endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." Praise God. Oh, praise God. I thank him for this. What, again, encouragement for us sons in the Word of God, and how much he loves us, and how much we need this chastening always, because the way to take we know not, and we need to know that. And we've sure been being encouraged lately in the last couple of weeks, especially of trusting him with all of our life and him establishing those thoughts. And then he tells us what those thoughts won't be this morning and what they will be this morning. And now he's encouraging us as well too, is this is how I perform this in your life. This is how I build my good pleasure in your life. And this isn't just for me. This is for you. This is for your profit. This isn't because I'm watching you with some big eye and punishing you. This is the Father that is perfect. And I, again, thinking of this and studying through this, I am thankful. I love my children and my sons, and they'll tell you they've been corrected. And it's been sweet to hear from my oldest son as he gets to the point where he actually has thanked his mom and dad. Thank you for the correction. I know it was for my good. But I know during that time of the correction, they sure didn't want it. They sure thought it was unfair, unjust, that I was just trying to be some ogre over their life to get exactly what I wanted. And that wasn't it at all. By the grace of God, it was, again, for their good. That really, I believe, in my heart of hearts, was attempting to save them from a lot of harm, to encourage them that they didn't need to go certain ways, and then truly that there would be an honor and an appreciation to their dad. How much more so our Heavenly Father and what he's doing in our lives. But I read this and I think about the faithfulness of God to us. I mentioned it earlier today, specifically tonight, those life-altering moments. Specifically to us, those life-changing trials. Specifically about those ones the Lord lays down in his great, great love that have stopped each and every one of us in our tracks. Inflicting what the world might call immense pain, what the world might view as something severely misfortunate to my life. Maybe even somebody saying, "Wow, that was really a disaster that happened to you." Those that don't even understand or really know what's going on, just as Job's wife might even come to you in that fiery trial and say, why don't you just curse God and die? But you see, not only did God intend it for our good, as Job, praise the Lord, it was the only way to truly bring the double portion to his life. And I don't know, because it doesn't speak of a lot of things about Job's life, but I'm pretty familiar with man because I happen to be one. But there's always a need to stop and to know that he's God. There's always a need, moment by moment, that he can always sharpen my attention to him. That but for God, every moment, without his guiding hand, I wouldn't follow him. Without him truly shaping and more molding and forming, he doesn't force me, but he puts everything in my favor. And I'm talking about trials and hard trials that will turn me to God. Because that way I don't seek, but again, by his grace. So, we saw this many times in the Word of God, if you've read it. I think a couple times that maybe is a little bit more overlooked is maybe with the ones like Aaron and Eli, those wonderful priests that God had appointed. And their sons not only did not heed the Word of God, they defiantly abused the house of God. And if you know the story there, those priests, their children that were going that way, God killed them. God stopped that at that time. Now you talk about a life-changing moment for Aaron and Eli, and I'd have to tell you what a most incredible hurt that must have been. But you see, God in his great grace and his mercy, he gave grace. I was thinking about Aaron. He gave grace to Aaron that it didn't crumble Aaron. And he gave that grace in that intense trial that we know it changed Aaron's heart. And it changed Aaron's heart, and he gave him the more earnest heed in the truth. Now we see that his life went on, but I'm talking about how do we really know that? Well, Aaron had a son named Eliezer. And it said that Aaron and Moses encouraged that son. And that son took heed to the things of God. And that son, Eliezer, of Aaron, not only survived and was spared of God, he was given the priestly robes. He went on to take that place as his dad. And then not only did Aaron get to see that, Eliezer had a son, and his name was Phinehas. And that Phinehas went on in that same lineage to follow the things of God. And I thought, oh Lord, what a precious double portion to sweet Aaron. Yep, you took two of his sons. But it sure woke him up to encourage those other boys. Let's get into the things of God. And then you think about Eli. There was another high priest chosen of God. But you see, he didn't stop his sons. He had two. Hophniah. And can you imagine, this other guy's name was Phinehas. The same as that just shows you can say there's something in a name. Yeah, there's something in a name. But let me tell you something, you're wearing the name. And just because you're named after somebody doesn't mean necessarily you're going that way. But what a mighty name to be named after a high priest, to be named after a lineage in the family that went after God. But this man, he didn't go after the things of God, he and his brother. What it says is that they stole and they committed acts of adultery in the tabernacle of God. And God chastened. He killed those sons. But he didn't only chasten in killing those sons. It was also put upon the lineage of Eli that none of his male descendants would ever live to see old age. There was a great price to pay. There was a great hurt in the things that had been done. But you see, Eli wasn't destroyed. He wasn't. Do you know that Eli was the one that went on to instruct Samuel to be encouraged in his life, to take hold of the things of God. Oh, what grace. And you talk about a double portion to see a prophet such as Samuel arise from a child in that precious miracle. See, God doesn't leave us hopeless in these things at all. God has actually got a plan to get our attention. He sees way past our just for the moment. And he sees not only beyond our life, but he sees beyond that. He's looking for the eternities with you. He is. He's looking for the eternal best for each and every one of us. And that's all he's always going to lay out before us, is that plan to be filled with all the fullness of God. I was thinking about Jonah. You know, Jonah, it took the belly of a fish to write his walk. It did. If you don't think that was a monumental moment in his life, well, I think you need to think about that one more time. But then you think about David. You ever learn something twice? You ever think, God, why didn't I get it the first time? And what I mean by that is David, as we know his life, there was a death of an infant son to awaken him back to the man after God's own heart. There was that child that was going to be born to Bathsheba, and David knew that he was wrong in what he did. And again, as he so profoundly said, before thee and thee only have I sinned. But he was still looking to the mercy of God. Wasn't that beautiful? He still believed that, Lord, I know you hear me. And I know I'm not ashamed of your grace. Yeah, I'm ashamed of what I've done, but I know that your grace is even greater. But it was God's choice, and God took that baby son. But then so many years went by, and here came another time in David's life. And I think this is so appropriate for our lives, brothers and sisters, because we live in this church age. We live in this time that we are being offered to rule and to reign jointly with Jesus Christ. We live in this time that God says, I want you to be glorified together with me. The only way that that's going to happen is if we would be in the company of the bride for Jesus. We know that. He said that all throughout the Word of God, that the woman is the glory of man. Amen. That we know that the glory of God that descends from heaven happens to be his wife, the bride, the Lamb's wife. All because of him. All because he had everything to do with it. But because she took everything of him, she couldn't be anything else but his glory. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. See, when we take everything of him, there's nothing else you'll be but his glory. Because that's what his grace does. You didn't deserve it, and I didn't deserve it. But that's just the very plan of God. I gave you everything. Now, will you take it? Will you allow the Holy Ghost, as we're just about ready to get to, hallelujah, in the book of Acts as we go through, that journey to the upper room, where he'll take the things of Christ and he'll show them unto you. Isn't that beautiful? It's so awesome. Yeah, we have been blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ, but it takes the Holy Ghost to show them unto you. It takes the Holy Ghost to take that little child, little Lord of all, and grow them up in the kingdom to understand who they are in that precious birth. Praise God. But I am thankful that the Lord is always after us. And there was David later on in his life. And that's where I'm speaking of this ruling and reigning. David at this time in his life was a wonderful king. Matter of fact, as the Lord says of David, there was never a king such as in Israel, and there won't be. David was the one, the man after God's own heart. But here he was into his leading the people and being a king. And he had a son. And that son's name was Absalom. And Absalom was a treasure to his daddy's heart. Just like any child would be to any daddy and mama's heart. But the problem was, is the child started to become the idol of the family, as opposed to a precious gift from God that is given right back to him. And it began to cloud David's wisdom, David's vision, and his attention and his desire was more upon his son than even the leading of the people of God. His vision was more upon his son than the place of reigning and ruling that God had called him to be. I think we need to take that to heart, don't you? Because we can become that close, especially to our children. And I know that as a daddy. That you can love so much that you actually loved in yourself right out of loving the Lord as your first love. But God. And but God in his faithfulness, he took that son. That son that was defiant towards, can you imagine, his own father. But he wasn't being defiant towards his father and his father's kingdom. He didn't realize he was coming up against God. He was coming up against God's choice. He was coming up against God's anointed. And in that, God in his perfect and complete and all his will, he stopped that in his tracks. And he awakened David quickly after that by taking his son. Now, you know what, brothers and sisters? All of us know these stop you in your track moments, don't you? You do. You might even be in one right now. We're kind of that way in our family. He just kind of stopped everything and said, look at me. See, he's God. He can do that. And you know what? He's God and he has the right to do that. And he loves you so much, he's going to do that. So I don't want you to be shocked or surprised or think it's strange, as the Word of God says about that fiery trial, because he loves us. Now, I believe by the grace of God you wouldn't be here tonight if you weren't one of those nutty sort that actually rejoices and gives thanks to God for that. That somehow you've grown up. Because of the chastening of God, because of his grace that is with you, you've endured. As I told you about my son, he said, thank you. It's not easy, but thank you. And brothers and sisters, praise God that it's because of that great grace in that correction that I give him thanks, that it's one of the great reasons that any of us are here tonight. Was that faithful act of God to stop us in our tracks. That thing that I thought was the most dear to me in my whole life, and boom, it's gone. Or the thing that I never even expected, thought, or whatever, like something strange, but it wasn't strange. It was the thing that stopped my life and brought me to the attention of God. Oh, yes, I think I'm preaching to the choir now. But see, those are amazing moments. Those altering, stopping, changing moments of our lives that really are always, in some way, shape, or form, sometimes the greatest tragedies in our life. Now, why all this? To praise God for his tenderness. To praise him for his grace. To thank him that he gave us something to stop us and not destroy us. The only way that we were going to get into that place, that state, to really see him as he wanted to be seen, was through that wonderful, precious moment. Amen? And it might be going on, I don't know. But I know that he's faithful to do it. And he might have to do it again in my life. I don't know. And by the grace of God, I don't want to fear. I want to be into this word. To be as those sons that endure the chastening. That endure hardness as good soldiers. Because you know what, brothers and sisters? I praise him tonight because without that correction, God forbid where I would be. Without it, I know one thing, I'd never be on the race course. I know if God gave me all the things that I ever wanted and I thought I needed, I'd never be here tonight. Without it, I'd never be living the life of truly being encouraged if by any means I might attain to that resurrection. Do you ever think of the absolute detail and the intimacy of what it took for you to love Paul's gospel? It's amazing. You just really sit down in prayer sometimes and the Lord kind of flash your life through. What we call twists and turns and weaves in this, he calls the straight way. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But see, without that, and sometimes he gives us glimpses, doesn't he? I was thinking the other day, and I do get to see some people, and it's not to compare ourselves amongst ourselves, but how many times in praying for somebody and in absolute brokenness, Lord, but for the grace of God, there I would have been. But for the grace of God, there would have been. But for the grace of God. I remember in business and seeing some of these different ones and very fun people and exciting people, brilliant people, people with great wealth and a lot of different things. And I'm not talking about, there's some really icky people with great wealth too, but I got to deal with some good folks that were really fun to be with and all. But you could see that at the end of the day, there was still no joy. That the life was still what is going to be the next deal or what's going to be the next thing we buy. You know, where's little Joey going to go to college? And, you know, who's going to be the next doctor? And all, naturally speaking, I guess, you know, good things, we understand that. But oh, thank you, God, that somehow you got a hold of me. And he often gets a hold of us, brothers and sisters, through great disappointment. When a dream just continually, just, it's gone. When somebody I see, the Lord allowed to get something that naturally speaking, justly, I should have had. There was no way that person should have got that over me. But God said, if I gave you that son, it would have destroyed you. And then you begin to understand that, like I was speaking of these priests tonight, you begin to see that for your children. You want things for your kids, and you can see things that should be there, and yet they're the Lord's. They're not mine, just like my life. And can I truly be that brother in Christ? To them as I am to you, to say, oh, I thank the Lord for that. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I believe that was Brother Job, the one who knew the double portion. Praise the Lord. So see, brothers and sisters, he does. He gives us those glimpses. Where would I be? Where would my children be? But for the grace of God that stopped me in my tracks. And yes, as the word of God says, in my faithfulness I have afflicted you. And the beautiful thing about it is he has searched our hearts. There's one person that knows you better than yourself, and that's God. And he knows even a wicked way that might be in me that's even hiding from myself. There's wicked ways in us that we don't know about. And yet in his mercy, he says, I'll lead you in the way everlasting. And oftentimes, it's stopping us right in our tracks. And I thank God that we can praise him and thank him that we don't become martyrs for what has happened to us. We don't become pitiful in our own eyes. I don't become, by the grace of God, oh, poor me, I didn't deserve this. But for the grace of God, I couldn't even have enough time to ever tell us what we deserved. But for God. But see, it's only the grace of God that can encourage us in the right way. And truly encourage us that, you know, our lives, and I've said it many times, your background, your wonderful parents or lack thereof, the backing that you had or the lack thereof, the education that you had or the lack thereof, the opportunities that you had or the lack thereof. In the hand of God, you never had a lack thereof. It's all perfect. And I appreciate so much a precious pastor that would be so graphic. Do you ever see a visual of giving a razor blade to a little baby? Get your attention real quick. Ooh. Well, but for the grace of God, that may have been the thing that you desired more in your life that God said no. And praise his name. So in that, brothers and sisters, by his grace, I thank him for those life-changing moments. And if he tarry, by the grace of God, I need you to lift me up. Because I read here tonight with you that there's not a one of us that chastening for the present seems to be joyous. So don't fib. I don't need anybody giving me any business when I'm going through these things to say, well, look at me. No, it says it's grievous. But oh, the fruit, praise God, that's going to come when I'm exercised in it. But here's what I'm saying as we close this out. Because if you don't want it, I do. By the grace of God, lift up. Lift up, as it says, my hands, which hang down. Because they're going to hang. And my feeble knees, praise God. And I've got, naturally speaking, I got some feeble knees. Dwayne will attest to that. Too much catching in baseball for too long. And it says, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. See, it needs help, but man, I'll tell you what, if I don't get that encouragement and take it from God and covet the prayers of the saints, boy, I could really be in a bad way. But let it be healed. And here's the healing, is the word of God. So let us be thankful and rejoice, because all of mankind is going to suffer. But as you know, when we suffer for Christ's sake, oh, the divine purpose that we suffer for. Because he's got eternity in mind for you. And these divine moments that stop us in our tracks, the purpose of it, believe it or not, is the exceeding riches of his grace. He's got something to share with those who will that is beyond any ecstasy that God could even describe, any pleasure that could ever be imagined, of truly that agape love of what he has prepared for them that love him. And I'll tell you what, in his faithfulness, he afflicts us, praise God. Let's go ahead and stand and be dismissed. Thanking the Lord. Brother Dave Luter, you lead us in prayer.